So if anyone starts to tell you that the law of God does not have to be obeyed anymore, just tell them that they are a liar and the truth is not in them. It's very simple. Do we then make void the law through faith, through the Spirit? Once we're first fruits, do we void the law? God forbid! Can't say it any stronger than that. Yes, we established the law. That was the biggest fight that the apostles had within God's true church. You know what? That's the biggest fight I have in God's true church. To let people know that they are saved by grace, not by their works. But the law still stands. And if you are one of God's, then that is your way of life. Whoever tells you differently is a liar. The truth is not in them. You might give them just a little bit of a break on that until they hear this. But once they've heard it and they do not change, then they are liars. Then they show themselves as little hirelings as they are. Well, we're not hirelings. Well, I guess we're all hirelings. Mr. Armstrong is a hireling. I am a hireling. But we happen to be God's servants. And that power of His Spirit is there. And God reveals to His servants. And they teach. And that's what we're doing. So we established that law. And I can say that with force. That we, the first fruits of the Philadelphian era of God's church, establish God's law. Now, we are very thankful that we are saved by His grace as a free gift. Galatians 2. I want to hurry along here, as usual. Galatians 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, we just explained that, but by faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Very simple, very plain. Your works, your physical obedience to the law does not save you. God's Spirit makes you keep His law, His very way of life. You know, if you love God, then you'll keep His commandments. Love is a fruit of God's Spirit. Brethren, do you see how this is all intertwined? We don't throw away something. God is not an idiot. He doesn't take all that time to establish His law and what it all means and then throw it away. He hasn't done that. If you listen to those Holy Day tapes, you'll realize that the sacrifices are going to be there forever. And you don't understand that because you don't understand sacrifices and you don't understand what they picture. But as you hear more and more, you will. Keeping the law is His works, His good works, not yours. If you're trying to do something by yourself, it's not going to work. John 6. John 6, verse 29. And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him who He has sent. That's the very work of God. You want to know what God does? What His works are? That you believe that Jesus Christ came. That you believe on Him. And how can you believe? Only if it is revealed to you. Verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And you look up the word, it's drag him. It's like a snagging a fish on a fishing line. And God just keeps pulling you into the boat. You don't want to come, but he just keeps pulling you, and then you'll finally be in his kingdom, won't you? He's doing it. And I will raise him up at the last day. He certainly will do that. Verse 65. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. So you can't do it. You can't do it unless God's doing it. Who has all the works here? God. You cannot believe in Christ without God's Spirit. Period. Since we're in John, let's go to John 3, verse 36, a few pages back. He says, he that believes on the Son has everlasting life. And he that believes not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And we know that all mankind will believe on Jesus Christ in that great last day. Everyone. The only one who doesn't, the only one who can't, the only one who's not drawn is Satan the devil. And Satan will be destroyed forever. If you believe on Jesus Christ, it has everlasting life. It's a free gift. The Jews had the law. See, they had the law in Christ's time. They were all keeping the law. It was all physical to them. They thought that's the way to do it. They had to do it that way. To gain some type of salvation, where God never said that. God just said he would bless you physically if you could keep it. But they turned it into something that it was not. They turned it more than a way of life. They turned it into salvation. See? They tried to keep it physically. Did they impress God? Well, right here in John, let's go to John 5, verse 38. What does he say about these people? It says, and you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent. Him you don't believe in. You see, they don't have the word in them because the Spirit was not dealing with them, wasn't working with them. And verse 42, but I know you that you have not the love of God in you. Boy, they don't have the love of God. They don't have the word. Hey, starting a pattern here. Verse 44, and how can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that comes from God only? They were taking honor in themselves by doing the works. But all the honor has to go to God. That's what we've been talking about. Verse 45, do not think that I will accuse you to my Father. See, I'm not going to accuse you to my Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. You trust in Moses, you trust in the law. And he's the one who's going to do it. And he says, if you'd have believed in Moses, then you would have believed in me, because he wrote of me. But if you believe not in his writings, you know, how shall you believe in my words? He really takes the Jews to task, doesn't he? To keep in that same vein, go over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 3. You really can't get much stronger than this. Paul is talking, he's talking about the Jews. All the so-called righteous ones, physically. And he talks in great plainness of speech. And not as Moses. This is 2 Corinthians 3, verse 13. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded. See? The Israelites' minds were blinded. They couldn't really see and understand. For until this day, this is after Christ was dead. This is when the apostles were doing it. For until this day remains the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. They still couldn't see it. They could not understand it at all. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. They can't say it's impossible, because they don't have the Spirit of God. It wasn't given to them. What about the first fruits? What about us? Nevertheless, when one shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. And how can you turn to the God? How can you come? He has to draw you. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where that Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is liberty there. And that is what He has given us. Liberty is everlasting life. There are works of the flesh. And those works are dead works, wicked works, unfruitful works of darkness. That's what the works of the flesh are. These works cannot please God. Those are your works. Those are my works, by and of ourselves. There are works of the Spirit that hopefully is working in you and me. Those are good works, fruitful works, works of righteousness, the very fruits of the Spirit. That's what has to be coming out of us. We started a long time ago talking about Abraham. What about Abraham's works, the father of the faithful? Remember, we all know that scripture. Now I know. Like God was too stupid to know what was going on. Well, we've already read enough scriptures to let you know that God knows everything that goes on. He's the one who inspires it when He's working. He doesn't wait for man. If God's Spirit was working with Abraham, could he have failed? Could Abraham have failed? The answer is absolutely no. Couldn't have failed. It was God's plan. Let's go back and look at this plan very quickly. Let's get this in our mind. Genesis 12. I think that we forget the order of events here that has happened. And we'll go through this quite quickly. Just to give a quick overview of what is happening with Abraham. Starting in verse 1 here with Genesis 12 with Abraham. And I'll just pronounce his name Abraham. That's what he changes it to, so let's not mix up the waters here. He tells him to get out of this country from his father's home, so he does. Verse 2, God says to Abraham, "And I will make of you a great nation." Did you see Abraham doing something here? "I will make a great nation. I will bless you and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse you. And in thee shall all families," get this, "and in you shall all families of the earth be blessed." That is everyone who is ever going to live. Humans are going to be blessed. Now at this time, so Abraham went and did what he was supposed to here. He was 75 years old. Okay? Now God already said, "You're going to do this." Abraham didn't have to do anything. Do you get the picture again? A free gift? Is this a free gift, or did Abraham actually do anything? God said, "I'm going to do this. Period." So Abraham goes to Egypt because they had that famine down there. So is this the father of the faithful? Look here in verse 12. Did he have all this faith? Huh? of himself. Therefore it shall come to pass, he's talking to his wife here, and I'll call her Sarah, which her name was later turned to, when the Egyptians shall see us, he says, that they shall say, ooh, this is his wife, and they shall try to kill me. See, his wife was beautiful. They'll try to kill him and take the wife. But they will save you alive. So this is what he says to him. Now, this is great. This is faithful Abraham and all of his great works. You know, we forget this. He's conspiring here, and he's doing evil here. A lot of faith, huh? You know, don't you think an angel could have protected this? He already had the blessings from God. He knew what was going to happen. He says, say, I pray you, that you're my sister, that it may be well with you. No. He didn't give a rip. He cared about his own flesh. He says, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and that my soul shall live because of you. Oh, yeah, well. He wasn't worried about Sarah. He's worried about himself. And let's read it the way it is. He didn't have any faith. He didn't have any works. Give me a break on this. That's not... Yeah. I hate when we try to make heroes out of somebody who wasn't. And we try to give Abraham the glory. It was God's glory. And we stole it from God. And we didn't give God the honor, did we? We took it for ourselves. Because then we thought we could take it and we could do our works. And we could impress God. Makes you kind of ashamed, doesn't it? But now we know the truth. Now we give God all the glory. You will never hear me do anything but give God all the glory. Because I know. It's been revealed. It's here. So what happened? Poor Pharaoh, you know, now he thinks it's a sister. He brings her in the house and all this. You know, now God steps in. Verse 17, and the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, because of the lying, cheating, conniving Abraham. See? I don't give Abraham any credit. Never will. I'll give God credit for the work that he did in our father Abraham. Then he made him a nice guy. And then we can love him. So Pharaoh, of course, here in verse 18, Pharaoh called Abraham and said, you know, what is this that you have done unto me? You know, you to tell me that she wasn't your wife. Why did you say she is my sister? So that I may take her to be my wife? Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go your way. And he kicked him out because he lied and he caused great hurt on Pharaoh and his household. Brethren, the promises was a done deal. It was a done deal because God spoke it. He said, I'm going to do it. This was his plan. It wasn't by man's works. In Genesis 13, we come along, God tells him to do other things. You read the story. We get here in verse 14. It says, and the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up your eyes and look from the place, he says, northward, southwards, eastwards, westward. Look at all the land. You know, he's saying the whole world. Look at the whole earth. For all the land which you see, to you I will give it, and to your seed forever. See, for all in the seed of Abraham and of Christ, so will all the great harvest in that great last day. And all mankind will inhabit this earth forever. Verse 16, and I will make your seed as the dust of the earth. Now this is just after he's lying and conniving and doing all the rest of the stuff. God just keeps on going. He keeps very right with his plan. Because he knows Abraham will do what he wants at the time. And I will make your seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall your seed also be numbered. This was a big deal, brethren. You know, he was telling them exactly what was going to happen. God was freely giving Abraham all this without any works or faith of Abraham. wasn't he? Chapter 15, you can fill in the other, I'm just high-topping this, on his life. Genesis 15:1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abraham, I am your shield, and your exceeding great reward. See, God was his reward. He was his shield. He was the one who was going to do this. And so, going on through verse 2 through 5 here, he's going on and saying that, you know, he has no heir. I don't have any heir. And God says, don't worry about it. I'll give you an heir. All right? I will give you that heir. And he tells him always to look. In verse 5, he says, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if you are able to number them. He says, so shall your seed be. Now he's given him some of his spirit around him. Now it's not a begettal. He wasn't a first fruit. He is not going to be part of the 144,000. The spirit of God was around him. And it was in him, but it was not as a begettal. It wasn't as a first fruit. We already read the scriptures, how you can believe and how you can't. What does that? And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So God made him do that. All right? So then in verse 12 to 13, he tells them, but the seed, he goes into this vision, and he tells them the seed is going to be afflicted for 400 years. 400 years. So he tells them what's going to happen to his seed. And in verse 18, in the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham. Abraham did not make a covenant with the Lord. Very important to know. If you haven't heard it already, send in for our tapes on the covenant. It's a 6-part series about the covenants of God. Find them very interesting. So God makes his covenant with Abraham. Unto your seed, I have given you this land from the river Egypt here all the way up through Euphrates. And he makes that covenant. So far, he hasn't made any works. He hasn't done any works on his own. Frankly, he's been a disappointment. Chapter 17, verse 1. It's very important that you understand this about your father, Abraham. Okay? So, when he is, it says Abraham here in chapter 17, when Abraham was 90 years and 90, he was 99 years old. Remember, this started when he was 75 years old. A lot of time went by. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, that I am the Almighty God. He says, walk before me and be you perfect or upright or sincere. You can't do that unless the Spirit is with you. So you can't do that. The Spirit had to be around him, using him as a pawn to accomplish God's way. Because we saw what Abraham's way was. It wasn't God's way. So in verse 5, he says, neither shall your name anymore be... Okay, Abraham, he calls him Abraham. He's going to be... He will be a father of all these nations. Because God already made him that. And Abraham did nothing yet. This was a nice free gift, wasn't it? Because God did it. Verse 7. And I will establish my covenant between you and me and your seed after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant. Which, of course, he did. Boy, he's speaking way off in the future, isn't he? Abraham still hasn't done anything. Verse 10, this is my covenant, which you shall keep. This wasn't, if you get around to it. Now, if you go down to Pharaoh again, you can go ahead and lie to him again. No. He says, this is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your seed forever, or after you. Every man, child, among you shall be circumcised. And it was done for a token. And God will do it again in the great last day. Listen to those Holy Day tapes. Now, after all of this, God says again, I'm going to have you have a son. I'm going to have your sons. This is what I made this covenant with you. You have all of this. It's a guaranteed deal. It's a done deal. Now let's see how much faith Abraham has again. God's Spirit works where it has to accomplish the purpose. But let's see our father Abraham, the father of the faithful. After God said, you're going to have a son. Remember, he's 99 years old. Verse 17. Then, they don't like to read this, but here it is in the inspired holy word of God. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. I want to tell you something. As stupid as I am, if God came down and talked to me, I certainly, at least for the next year, I wouldn't be falling on my face and laughing at God and what he said. I'd be scared to death. Okay? Just out of fear, terror, I wouldn't do this. Not because of righteousness, only because of terror. Now here Abraham just had the whole world given to him. Everything, all the promises. So then the father of the faithful falls on his face and laughs at God. And said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah in her 90 years old bear? Oh, laugh. Ha, 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 ha. A lot of faith there, wasn't there? Yeah, we don't like to read that. Kind of tarnishes this image of this faith that Abraham built up in himself. Well, he didn't build it up in himself. God did. So in verse 29, you can, or 24, you can read this, but Abraham, when he was 99 years old, he was circumcised. And he also circumcised Ishmael, that was 13 years old. And he did do that. But what did he have faith? And all of that? No, he just did what he was told there. In Genesis 18, verse 12, Sarah had been listening in the back of the tent, as you know, and the angel says again, Sarah's going to have a child. So what does Sarah do? This was Abraham's wife. It says, therefore, Sarah laughed within herself. She laughs too. At least she didn't fall on the ground and laugh big belly laughs at this deal, you know. And she says, you know, how can I do this? So she laughed too. You know, what's the deal? Doesn't look like they have much faith, does it? Well, they didn't, unless God gave it to them. Verse 15. Then Sarah denied it. Then when the angel says, why did you do this laughing? She says, I laughed not, for she was afraid. Yeah, but the angel says, no, but you did laugh, didn't you? You did laugh. So she lied. Abraham lies, Abraham laughs. Sarah lies, she laughs. Little pattern going on there, isn't there? Verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? You know. Should I do that? Should I hide from him? No, I'm going to go ahead and tell him. I tell him all this. He tells you that to show his power. Verse 18, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all nations on the earth shall be blessed in him. Should he hide that from him? No, he says it for a record, so we can see it later. For I know him. Yeah, he knows him. Because he's put that spirit around him. That's why. That he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord and do justice and judgment. That the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And he was going to do those works within Abraham. It was by the Spirit. You can't do it any other way. So it's done by God's power. He had been teaching and preparing him his whole life to do this. So there's a little background about Abraham. Doesn't sound so good, does it, when it's really read properly? But God gets all the glory and honor. Now we go over to Genesis 22. Okay? Genesis 22. And this is where he's going to sacrifice Isaac. By this time, God's Spirit is directing him and leading him. Abraham never even questioned this sacrifice. He just went. 3 days' journey, took the wood, everything, came there, was going to do it, wrapped him up, threw him up there on the altar, had the knife in his hand, he started down. The angel, as we explained before last week, God, the Father, and the Word at this time had already left the scene. They knew what the Spirit of God does. They already programmed it. They left an angel there to give him a message. So the angel was watching. God knew exactly what he was going to do. Otherwise, God's whole plan was going to be wiped out for eternity. And God was going to be a liar. Think that would ever happen? I don't think so. And he sees him and he yells out in verse 12, Genesis 22. He says, "Lay not your hand upon the lad." He says, "For now I know that you fear God." See, he saw the Spirit working in him. And God had given him instructions that when he was going to do this, then say this. Seeing that you didn't withhold your son. Already provided a ram for the offering. They did that. And then the angel in verse 15, he calls out again, out of heaven, the second time. And he says, and said, and this is Christ's words. This is the Father's words. This is what they say. It says, "By myself have I sworn." So you can swear by no higher than God himself. By himself. "For because you have done this, and hath not withheld your son, your only son, that in blessing I will bless you and multiply, I will multiply you as the stars in heaven." And he was going to possess all the gates of his enemies. "And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." Did Jesus Christ have a choice on what he was going to do down here? No. Would he ever want a choice? No. He did everything the Father told him to do. And so did Abraham. This was done by the very power and glory of God, not by Abraham. But because he worked through Abraham, he made him the father of the faithful. What is faith? It comes from the Spirit. It came by the Spirit, not Abraham. Let's not make heroes here. There's only one hero. That's the Father and his Son. That's who the heroes are. What else could Abraham do? God's power was on him. God's Spirit and power brings forth good works and good fruits, not man. We're running a little low on time here as far as my notes are concerned, so I'll have to skip something here. Can you bring forth God's good works on your own? Can you impress God? No, I don't think so. Turn over to John 3 very quickly. John 3, verse 27. I'm going to go through this fast. John is saying, "John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven." Makes that pretty clear while we're in John. Come over to John 5. Verse 19. This is Jesus talking, and he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," listen to this, "the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he does, these also doeth the Son likewise." It's the Father who does it. In verse 30, "I can of mine own self do nothing." Nothing. "I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father, which has sent me." See, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. It's all of the Father. He can do nothing unless the Father does it. John 8, verse 28 and 29. Then said Jesus unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me. That's what I speak, and that's what I do. And He that sent me is with me, and the Father has not left me alone. For I do always those things that please Him. Why? Because of the Spirit of God. John 15. John 15, verse 5. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Now what are you going to do on your own? He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. These are your works. For without me you can do nothing. Nothing. And if, in verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in that love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Brethren, you can't do it without God. You can bring forth no fruit whatsoever that God recognizes. He does it. He's behind it. If there's any good fruit, it's from him. Accept it. Be happy. Be happy you don't have to produce good fruit, because you can't. Only He can do that within you. You and I can do nothing by ourselves. By God's Spirit, He gives us the fear of God, which is His Spirit. He gives us faith, and He gives us His works. And then He gives you the free gift of grace and salvation. He grants you life eternal. Because of your works? No. No. Only His works. And His works are spiritual. They're by the Spirit. They manifest themselves in a physical way at times, and that's good. We had better thank God that He loves us that much. That He's giving us this. And He's the one who does it. We are His workmanship. We're His workmanship. We are His good works. Remember the scripture that says, No one can pluck us out of the Father's hands. No one. And remember that scripture that says when He starts a good work in you, He will finish it. By the power of His Spirit, we are His first fruits forever. We ought to think about this. And we ought to get our works and our thinking out of our minds. Because it's only God. And all the glory, all the honor, all the joy and praise goes to the Father in heaven. And we ought to thank Him every day on our knees before Him that He produces the fear of God, that He produces the faith and the love and the joy and the peace within us, and that He produces good works within us. So we'll see you all next week. Pray for one another, and we'll see you next week on the Sabbath.